Darling, give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen. Hear me down up there, hair, shoulder length, longer. Here, baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, daddy.
This weekend, the Public Theater will present a concert version of Hair in Central Park's Delacorte Theater to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the American Tribal Love Rock musical. Galt McDermott wrote the music to go with Jerome Ragney,
yeah.
And James Rado's book and lyrics, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show to tell us about the show's beginnings. Welcome back.
Oh, hi. Thanks.
Wasn't Hair the first play produced by the Public Theater when it moved to Lafayette Street?
Yeah, we opened the public theater on Lafayette.
Was it Joe Papp's idea to inaugurate the theater with a new work reflecting contemporary culture? Because the classics are pretty much everything that had been done until then.
He'd only done Shakespeare up until then. I don't know if that was his idea, but it was certainly Jerry's idea. Jerry captured him on a train at one point and made him read the script, and he liked it. So he said he'd open with it.
And actually, I'm sure never regretted it. The Hair probably floated more Shakespeare and Chekhov than anything for many, many years.
Probably.
The current artistic director of the Public is Oscar Eustace. Was it his idea to stage this revival?
It was, yeah.
He said that Hair's single most important contribution was to put the voice of a generation in all its beauty and rage and confusion into an unforgettable theatrical form. I'm sure that's not what you were thinking when you were writing this thing.
No, not at all. But what I was thinking about was the music. I mean, they asked me to write a rock and roll score, and I happened to be involved with rock and roll at that time, playing the piano and demo records and that type of thing. So it appealed to me.
There have been times when the show has seemed a bit dated. Do you think it's timelier now with the country faced with another war?
Well, you know, I've been watching these rehearsals, and some of those songs are very, very moving because of what's going on today. And also, they have some things which were dropped from the show, which was very right-wing fathers and mothers shouting at their kids. And some of the things that they said back then, they're saying right now.
This is a concert version.
It's a concert version.
So does it work well as a concert
version? Well, I mean, I haven't actually seen it, but it seems to work well.
You were part of the creation from the beginning, weren't you? Or did Jerry and James write the book first?
No, they had the book and the lyrics when I met them.
And they also starred in it, so people must have assumed that some of it was autobiographical.
Maybe they did. I think it was autobiographical in some way, although they weren't. They'd served their time in the Army, so that part wasn't. And actually, that wasn't even a big issue at the first, the draft thing. It became a major issue.
You were married at the time with young children living in Staten Island.
Right.
So did you feel outside of all of this?
Well, I was outside of it. I was from Canada. I just come down from Montreal. I knew nothing about it. I'd never heard of a hippie. But I found out pretty quickly.
Hair is considered the first rock musical. It was written before Tommy, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Clive Barnes, in his New York Times review of the Broadway production, described the music as pop rock with strong, soothing overtones of Broadway melody. Were you trying to create that kind of set?
I was just trying to write songs.
Well, his description of the show was likable. It's kind of funny because it did shake a lot of people up.
Well, maybe. I think it did, but we considered his review a good review. It was the only really decent review we got downtown.
There are a lot of songs in it for a Broadway musical, more than 30. But many of them were really short, weren't they?
Some of them are short, but then some of them are long. So it's a mixture.
Was that revolutionary at the time?
It might have been, but, you know, I wasn't aware of that.
Did you enjoy coming up with catchy tunes for some of these ditties? I'm thinking of the songs like the initials, LBJ, Took the IRT.
I enjoy it all. The lyrics are really excellent. I think.
Although they're sometimes controversial, there was Colored Spade as a list of terms to describe African Americans. Sodomy is a catalog of sexual practices. And then you wrote the most lovely melodies for these things.
Well, I figured I was trying to make as nice tunes as I could get for my, you know, for my own pleasure. And the lyrics, I found them amusing. Those, and then there was White Boys, Black Boys. They covered everything.
And you also had to write music for Hamlet's soliloquy. what a piece of work is man.
Well, I'd already done some music for Joe's Hamlet. Or no, actually, that came later. But I did songs for some of Joe's shows, Joe Papp.
And is Shakespeare easy to write music to?
It depends. Depends. No, it's not that easy. There's a lot of words, mm-hmm. and they're hard to. You don't know all those words.
Now, some of the songs that you wrote are now standards. Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In. When you were writing it, I'm sure you had no idea that it was going to have that kind of a lasting value.
Well, you know what it is like. You just do the best you can, and that's what I was doing.
And when you hear those songs, do you feel like, gee, that was pretty good? Or do you think, oh, gee, I wish I could go back?
If I hear a good performance, I think, gee, that's nice.
Hair was the first off-Broadway musical to transfer to Broadway. Was that the plan from the beginning?
I think it was Jerry and Jim's plan, but I didn't know anything about Broadway, and I don't know what... Joe had ambivalence about Broadway. He took him a long time to actually motivate himself to go there. I think it was Two Gentlemen of Verona, much later, that he took there.
Well, it actually was a three-step process. First it was at the Public, and then it was at a disco called the Cheetah in right. Times Square before it moved to the Biltmore.
Right.
And did you have to change it each time?
We changed it all the time. Over a period of a year, there was new songs and different. And then Tom Horgan came in and changed a lot, too.
Now, some of the questions that I would ask for some of the others, I'm not sure you would know the answers to. Were you just off writing the music, or were you in on decisions like whether to have the nude scene? Because as far as I understand it, that didn't exist in the initial version.
No, but I think it hadn't occurred to the writers either. They saw a similar thing up in the Central Park where a couple of guys took their clothes off to defy the cops, and they said, oh, that's got to be in the show. And so then when we changed producers and directors, it was put in.
And some pretty important actors came through that show at one time or another. Diane Keaton was in the Broadway cast.
She was in the original cast, yeah.
And the Broadway production ran 4 years?
Yeah, 4.5 years.
Has it ever been revived on Broadway? It's been revived elsewhere.
Once on Broadway, around 78.
Well, this Hair will be performed on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Delacorte in Central Park. And are there any cast members that I might recognize?
Well, there's a guy playing Claude who is from Spring Awakening. I've forgotten his name, but he's good.
Talk about a hit musical using rock. That's extraordinary. Do you like that?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's really terrific.
Yeah, I've got to go and see it.
You'll be in the orchestra along with your son, Vincent?
I'll play the piano. He plays the trombone.
Is a musical family?
We're pretty interested in music.
And you're still playing jazz?
I have a band, and we play, yeah.
Any upcoming gigs that you care to mention?
I was commissioned to write a piece for Staten Island, so I'm going to do that in October.
Oh, so you're still living in Staten Island?
I still live there, yeah.
Wow. The cast member from who is also in Spring Awakening is Jonathan Groff.
Sorry about that.
Well, no, I've just been informed it, so if there are people out there running to their computers hoping to figure that out, well,
yeah,
there it is.
That's right.
Meanwhile, this has to be, this is one of those things that is a kind of a defining moment in a career. It's because you'll always be associated with Hair as much as anything you've ever done.
I think so.
Is that something that you're pleased with?
Well, it's nice to be associated with something.
Anything. Well, you've done so many different things.
Yeah, sure.
But Hair it's like actors, you know. Well, you know, gee, I want to get past being Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire might say.
Well, you might feel that. But, I mean, seeing Hair now again after 40 years, I'm really quite impressed with it. Not just the music, but the actual writing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll all have a chance to see it because it'll be perform this Saturday through Monday at the Delacorte. And it's going to be on my birthday, too, because my birthday's on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And it's at 7 p.m. as part. There's also, it's part of Joe's Pub in the park.
That's what they call it, yeah.
If you want more details, you can find out all that information on our show page at WNYC.org. And my great thanks to Galt McDermott for being my guest today to talk about Hair, which I suspect will be revived again and again throughout the history of musical theater.
Okay, thank you.